Hello, I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on gear, books, trails, festivals, fitness, events, health, and more. This podcast is number 35, and it's going out on November the 14th, and it's been a wet week. I love it when on the news there are all kinds of pictures of the Northern Lights, and we can't even see the top of the streetlights. I managed to get injured walking this week as we were out filming. My son was just packing up the drone as we got some nice aerial footage of a beach and a small harbour just before we set off on the 11-mile hike. So I thought I'd go and get some nice footage of the waves crashing on the shore. Sadly, it was me doing the crashing. The first rock that I stepped on was very big and flat, and it was sloping downwards, and it looked completely dry. But it wasn't. My feet immediately went out from under me because it was sloping downwards, and I landed on my back. Fortunately, maybe, the backpack took the brunt, and I managed to pull my head up just before impact. But there were three casualties. A small case for equipment shattered, our tripod mount for the tablet I use as a teleprompt also shattered, and the tablet, well, let's just say that won't be turning on again. And I did need some tablets of my own, because the fourth casualty was me, two fractured ribs. But I did manage the 11 miles okay. It's just that now the wrong movement, and it's causing a lot of pain. The trouble is that you don't know what those movements are until you do them. Anyway, that's my news. That, and we bought another camera. Not sure if anyone out there is an Alan Partridge fan, but in his latest series on mental health, there's a bit where he goes hiking. And he's using a 360 camera. And he's using it far too close for effect so that it warps his face. And he also keeps calling it a 365 camera. Which is funny, so now my son and I call it a 365 camera. I'm sure at some point somebody out there is going to call me out on it, and I'll have to find the bit in the episode to show the person. I've been corrected before when making verbal jokes like that. I think it just makes it even funnier. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get to November the 14th, which is Pickle Day, Seatbelt Day, Children in Need Day, and Diabetes Day. It's the day the BBC started its radio service in 1922, and it's the birthday of the painter Monet, and also the painter Manet. What are the odds? It's also the birthday of the cyclist Bernardino, who was a hero of mine growing up, and the musician Yanni, who seems to have been a bit forgotten lately. I interviewed him a couple of times in the, what would be, late 80s, early 90s. Very nice person and a great artist. On last week's podcast, we had a conversation about hiking instead of detention at a school in Maine in the US. This week, the subject is a book that's coming out in January. But before we get going, if you do have news, guest ideas, or even subjects to cover, or comments, or if you want to advertise, please do get in touch via walkingpost.com or just email me at jim@walkingpost.com. There wasn't a lot of news this week. There was enough for one or two every day, but maybe not worth doing the usual roundup of news. If you do want to find out what we had on, because I can't remember them all, then do head over to walkingpost.com to find out. There was one article about walking being a help with Alzheimer's, and another about the boost to the US economy of the outdoors industry, and there were a few new product launches. So there you go. Right, let's get to this week's interview then. Ketul Patel is co-founder of Omia Consulting, and he's also the author of A Journey of Elevation, Lessons for Business Transformation from Everest Base Camp. The book is scheduled for publication in January 2026, or scheduled if you're on this side of the ocean. It's a mix of hiking and business. He writes about the journey with hiking to Everest Base Camp, and then pivots this into business management and how to transform businesses. I had the chance to catch up with Ketul recently to talk about the book and the hike. Yeah, could you tell me about your
Sure.
business, the business side of things before we start talking about walking and the book?
Absolutely. I'm a president of Omia Consulting, and we specialize in supply chain and business transformations and help small to mid-sized businesses to turn around their portfolios and for any channel penetration or market penetration, launching new products, or actually revamping their supply chain. And but prior to that, I've been in corporate life and as well as in consulting in supply chain leadership roles and at Michael Kors, Avon, and Toys R Us, and spent also a few years in consulting at the Big Four at Deloitte, and also at boutique consulting firm where I started my career. So throughout the span, I have been in supply chain and operations transformation, and I have been leading organizations through this change. And now, as part of my consulting firm, that is what I do. I connect the dots and truly transform the organizations for significant results. And that's why I think, when I wrote the book, and actually when I made the journey, it connected so well. And that just inspired me to kind of, write this book as well.
What prompted you to go out on your own after all of those years working with other companies?
Yeah, I was at a point where I felt that because of my unique kind of places that I was at, right? And I'd taken organizations through transformations, as well as I also worked on the other side with the consulting firms and large consulting firms to kind of deliver that value. And I felt that at this stage of my career, would love to kind of take on this challenge where I felt that probably my clients would probably benefit more with a complete end-to-end thinking that I can bring to them at a different scale, if you will. One thing led to another, and here I am. And certainly, I think this is where I'm enjoying the most, taking the helm of your own, being in control of your destiny. I think, as well as I think, focus on the customer.
Could you tell me the idea of coming up with the book? Was it that you had the idea for the book first, or was it that you were going to go and do this walk anyway, or how did that all come together?
No, thank you for asking. The idea for the book was born during my trek to Everest Base Camp, actually. What started as a personal challenge is something I wanted to prove to myself, turned into a deeply reflective experience about leadership and transformations. And as I walked through the Himalayas, I saw striking parallels between the mountain and the organization I've led or advised over the past 3 decades. And both journeys kind of test your endurance, your patience, your beliefs in the mission. And I recognize that both, reveal the progress, which is rarely in straight lines, right? And there are acclimatization days, there are setbacks, there are moments when you have to slow down to move forward. And it connected really well. And so I wanted to capture all those lessons from both sides that speaks to both the trekkers, the hikers, and the business leaders, right? Anyone that's facing that challenge and that seems, larger than themselves. And that's what led me to write the book. And my hope is that it is not just a story of adventure, but a framework for resiliency and perseverance, and whether it be professionally, spiritually, or personally.
Were you a hiker beforehand, or was this just something completely out of the blue that you decided to take on?
That's an interesting part. We have a hiking club here, local hiking club. And so we did take on some challenging hikes and treks, but nothing of this magnitude, right? So we used to do kind of day hikes, but really amongst big boulders. And in this part of the region there, with Appalachians and so many beautiful hikes that there are. So we used to do these day hikes and a bit challenging, and but nothing of this magnitude. And so that's why it was also surprising to us that when we actually took this on as being the first hike, and so we were surprised ourselves as well. And because normally people would kind of take, probably 14,000ers or so and do a couple of those and then probably do some others at 15,000 and then probably venture out to do the Everest Base Camp. But we're so glad that, you know, we had prepared well. We had the, a really good kind of support structure around us, and something I write in the book as well. And all of us kind of made it all the way to the top.
I mean, you don't just kind of do lots of hikes around New Jersey and the surrounding areas and the Appalachians and then wake up one morning and say, I know, let's go do Everest. I mean, how did that come about?
Yeah, you know, most of the team members were turning kind of 50, right? And I was already past that. And you come at a point in your, whether it's in your professional life, personal life, right, that you are looking for some kind of challenges. And so we had always been talking about doing something more that would challenge ourselves. So the original plan was actually just go to, you know, the Himalayas and do kind of day trips, right, where you just go up and come back down and enjoy. It would be kind of more of a leisurely challenge. But then as we started to kind of discuss that, some of the folks, their calendars didn't kind of fit well and they kind of couldn't join this. And then so there were a few folks that remained. Then someone just kind of shared that, hey, why don't we actually try Everest Base Camp? And so at first, obviously, it was like a crazy idea, right? So we had to kind of do a lot of due diligence to really do research to see that, is this something that we can really even take on? And it was daunting and overwhelming. It was a lot of tough discussions with kids and internally family members. And it was really the drive and the perseverance, that led us to kind of take that on. But I think one big thing that we talk about is also, as we went in, that going in without any ego, that no, you have to reach up there. And that is something our doctors and everyone had talked about, that don't let your ego come in your way of what your body is telling you.
Because elevation, it's difficult to breathe up there, which you're a lot closer to sea level in New Jersey.
That's right. As I also kind of write about, write the why, as to why do you want to really take this kind of a crazy thing at this time of my, life or career. And it took quite a bit of convincing, but definitely I wanted to go there for sure. Now, whether I can reach the Everest Base Camp or not, that was still under question. But we felt that however high I would go, that would probably be the highest I've ever been at any place trekking.
Can you tell me about the journey itself, how long it took? And
so the journey itself was over a 12-day period, and that included one day that we had to start out with our not plan A, not plan B, but plan C. As you know, that the trekking in that part of the region is all based on the weather conditions and mudslides that happened. And so we had to kind of take our plan C, where we had to drive through almost over 20 plus hours in rough terrain and kind of muddy gravel roads. And then we started hike earlier on than what we had planned for. We were supposed to fly to Lukla from Kathmandu and then take on the hike from there. But then because of this kind of plan C that we had to deploy, we had to actually hike in much more primitive conditions and earlier on. And so overall, it was almost about 10 days of hike and then a day for coming back and then a day to kind of drive up there.
What kind of distances were you covering each day?
Overall, we covered almost about 115 kilometers or so. Every day, it was about, on average, I would say about 6 to 8 hours of trekking. And then at different points, we started out somewhere around, I would say, about 8,000 feet and obviously elevated all the way to about 17,500 or so. That's where the Everest Base Camp is. And even these 10 days included kind of 2 days for acclimatization stops. But even those days, you don't just relax, right? You kind of go up and then come back down to kind of test your bodies. That will you be able to take on you know, that 700, 800 foot of elevation gain, which is at a crucial time. So one was around 10,000 feet, and another one was somewhere closer to about 14,000, 15,000.
Is it, what did you do for food? Do you have to carry that with you, or are there staging places along the way where you eat?
That was, I would say, the most surprising, pleasantly surprising part of the trek, where we were truly amazed. We knew that there are tea houses throughout the spots. And because now that it has become much more traveled, that they have stationed these tea houses. And obviously, as you start going further up from Namche Bazaar, which is around 10,000 feet, it gets thinner and thinner, right? So there are only few tea houses as opposed to earlier on when there's many more trekkers. And the tea houses had a really good protein-filled diet that they used to offer, with the soups and the garlic soups and very proteinous meals. And they knew that these are the things that would help the trekkers kind of make it all the way up there. And so that was a very pleasant surprise. And so food-wise, we never felt any challenges, apart from obviously as you start gaining elevation and go further up at the altitude, your appetite kind of tends to drop significantly, right? But you have to keep on forcing yourself to be hydrated as well as eating so that you continue to have that energy to kind of make it through.
Are there lots of people doing this trail? I mean, when you're walking, are you seeing other people, or did you not see anybody for days?
I think we did see a few trekkers, you know, on our way, but it was up to Namche Bazaar, which is kind of where 10,000 feet, where I would think that most of the folks would feel a bit more comfortable. After that, we certainly saw it thinning out considerably. Because it's beyond that point, the weather pattern changes, right? It starts to get really cold, the very thin air. And that's when you really see the serious trekkers kind of wanting to go all the way, kind of make it there.
What was your process for recording things? Because obviously, if you've decided to do a book, then you want to be in a position where you've recorded everything and you can remember it easily.
No, so it wasn't the time until I kind of was on a flight coming back, you know, from Kathmandu, and I'd taken a stop in India. And as I was coming back, that is when it was the first time I just felt that at first I didn't know whether it was going to be a book or it was just going to be a blog or it was going to be an article or something, but I wanted to share my experiences and how it connected well. So I just started to kind of put down on my iPhone in notes just any thoughts that came to me for each of the days. And that's how it started. So it was really on the way back that I seriously started to kind of pen down my thoughts and ideas.
And how did you decide on the format of the book? Because with something like this, it's very easy to, okay, you're talking about hiking, but you're also talking about business. It's easy to kind of mash it all up as one and jump around a lot. How did you decide that you were going to do it the way that you did it, which is sort of a brief bit on hiking and then a longer piece on business?
Yeah, that was probably the most trickiest part. So as I started to kind of write, the first thing was that I just wanted to first lay out my 12-day journey. And that's why in the book, I kind of go day by day to kind of truly give that experience to the trackers, right? Whether they be novice trackers like us that we were going up there, or even experienced ones, to kind of give them a feel of what a day looks like. So that's where I started to first put down all my thoughts around, do I remember all the things and all the experiences? And once I put those down, that's when I started to kind of understand that what were the things that helped us make it through that day. And then eventually, right, so you're going through the trees, and then eventually you're looking at the forest from up above. And it kind of gives you a very different perspective and brings the humility and things about the perseverance and everything that I write about in the book. And then, so it was going back and then reflecting back on my experiences of 30 years, that how, what were different incidences that I kind of came across. So on one side, I had to pen down my 12 days of my trekking. And then on the other side, after that was done, I started to think about my 30 years and what were those specific instances that I could relate to. And that's what it took me to kind of go back in time and start jotting that down and then connecting appropriately as to what elements of leadership that were brought out during my trek, and then mimicking that or relating that, the parallels with what I went through. So it was quite an experience on itself.
If you were to describe your book to somebody, is it, would you describe it as a hiking book that helps business people, or is it a business book using hiking as a tool for examples?
That's the beauty of it. I would say it's both. And that's why in the book, we also kind of put down, right, different glyphs that gives an indication that now you are talking, obviously by reading it, you can also tell, but then it also gives you an indication that now you're talking about the hiking part, the trekking part of it. And then now you're talking about the business transformation. So that's the unique thing about the book, is for the true trekkers who may not have been in that kind of a business, corporate business environment, they can also relate to the book very well. And then also the adventurists in the corporate world, or even, you know, business leaders that want to go through transformation, but then how to kind of go about the transformation is something that can also, they can relate to this as well in a more lighter way, if you will. Because that was another thing, right, that there are many, many books written on only transformations, business transformations. And then also there are quite a few books on the tracking guides, if you will. That's what I wanted to kind of bring about, to not to make it a regular book on the shelf somewhere.
Was it clear to you as you were writing it how they connected, or did you have to tailor the experiences according to the hike, or was it just, it was obvious the parts of business that applied?
No, this went through gazillion iterations. And one of the things that even my publisher had shared is that, yes, you want to write and tell so many things you may feel, but do the audience want to hear or read? So there were a lot of editing, a lot of iterations that I had to go through to kind of make it much more connecting. And then also, I think what helped as well is the pictures. The book has almost 30 pictures in there, and that also makes it much more livelier and keeps it engaging for the readers, right? As if they feel that they are there. And that's what I wanted to also provide, that kind of experience as well. And although pictures can't tell, you know, what I really went through, but at least it may help connect a little bit, right, to the folks who have not been there.
When does the book come out?
It's already on pre-order now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and a few other places, but the launch date is set for January 20th.
Do you think this is something that you will do more of?
Well, we're already thinking for a couple different peaks, but we'll see as to when that happens, whether it's in 26 or 27. But yes, it is in works.
All right. Will it be the same kind of principle? It'll be business and walking, or have you decided yet?
That will be just for me kind of going in that region. One of the places is, you know, we're thinking is in Argentina, Aconcagua, or actually there are really other trails in the Himalayas as well that I really want to kind of take on as well. The mountains call you back once you are up there. I feel that there's a call happening.
So that'll just be for the walking then? It's not necessarily going to be a book?
No, nothing that I've thought of right now, but that does not mean that there isn't another book in the making, but we'll see.
Well, those are really the only questions that I had for you. Is there anything that you wanted to mention about the either the hiking or the connection to business that we haven't talked about?
For the listeners here, one thing I would share is it'll be great to create your own base camp moments as pauses in kind of daily life to recalibrate and reset and kind of reemerge with intention, which is what I went through. And it just provided just a deep understanding of, you know, the perseverance and which I felt before was, I thought perseverance was about grit, you know, that you are just pushing through deadlines and you're kind of outlasting the competition and solving problems. But really this experience gave me a new meaning on perseverance, which is every breath feels borrowed at some point as you are up there. And the progress isn't about speed, but it's about rhythm. And it's a deliberate thinking, humility, and gratitude that you appreciate up in the mountains with the locals around you. And so definitely create your own base camp moments.
When you got to the base camp, did you look at Everest and think we should do the whole thing? Or was that just, we're done now?
No, at that point, I think we were ready, because it's funny you ask, because the next day, we're supposed to go early morning to Kalapathar, as they call it there, which is another hike, but it's much more strenuous, steep hike that allows you to see Everest, you know, at a much higher altitude. And it almost gives you a feel that you are right in line of Everest, just from vision standpoint. But we couldn't muster to take that on the next day morning. It was like, you know, all the 11 days of that trek and going through different terrains and weather patterns and exhaustion and frustration and everything that may have built because of different reasons was just giving out at that point.
Definitely an interesting conversation. The book is certainly more business than it is walking, but the walking part is still quite comprehensive. And if you're into both, then definitely worth looking into. So we'll leave it there for this week. If you do have news or suggestions for podcast guests, please do get in touch through jim@walkingpost.com. I'm always looking for guests, whether it's a new trail, a new book, new equipment, or maybe somebody that's done an amazing walk somewhere. It's always nice to chat. So I hope you enjoyed this week's walkingpost.com podcast, and I hope that you have a great week ahead, hopefully with a walk somewhere, and hopefully not falling down like I did. So until next time, happy trails. Walking Post from walkingpost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.